It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Everybody doing the wrong. I think it might be not wrong. These all people are not going to go to hell. That's what the devil will tell you. These all the people doing wrong, do you think they are all going to go to hell? Do you know Sodom and Gomorrah? How many people went to hell? Whole city. Time of Noah, whole world. God is not concerned about whole world or whole city. He's concerned about what kind of life you are living. Now he's talking about the good ground. Let's read verse 23.
But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
Now see here, somebody says, if soil was good, the word is good, and now is sown in the good ground, why everything didn't come hundredfold? Some came hundredfold, some came 60, some came 30. Why is that? In the good ground also, there are born again people, there are groups of born again. There are some born again people, they will say, I'm born again, I don't care about water baptism. I'm born again and I'm with God and I'm a good person. Okay? That person is not going to grow, he's going to say 30%. And there are some other people say, okay, I'm believing in a water baptism. I believe in reading Bible and going to church and everything. But I don't want to speak in tongue. I don't want Holy Spirit. I don't want to live holy life. That is for the holy rollers. It's not for me. And if somebody teaches them, they don't want to listen. That person is not going to produce more than 60%. They will be there because he's born again, he's living a good life. That's fine. But there are some people, put it in that ground, gave 100%. Those are the people who are born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, have all the gifts of the Spirit, living for God, living holy life, seeing God, and waiting upon Jesus Christ to come back. And so those kind of people are producing 100% fruit. And so even the good ground had three different kinds of people. Okay, verse 20.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then, that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Second parable he gave, the man sows the good seed, an enemy comes and sows the bad seed. The servant says, Master, you sow the good seed, and why this weed came there? Let us go and take the weed out. And he said, No, let them grow together. Because if you start taking the weeds, you are going to lose the good seeds or good plants. And so let them grow together. And when the harvest time comes, what's going to happen? The weed is not going to make a corn or whatever you planted. They will be weed. And so we will know at that time, and we'll take the good fruits and store it, and we'll take that weed or bad things, and then we'll burn it away. Now what the Lord is trying to say, he says he gives the rains to the sinners and the children of God. He gives the sunshine for the sinners and the children of God. That means we are growing in the sinful world. When Jesus Christ was praying in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I'm not asking you to take these people away, but keep them in this world, means protect them. We are growing together. In your neighborhood, you might be the only one Christian, and all people might be not Christian, maybe not saved. So what God is saying, the day will come, the enemies, the demonic people will be put into hell, and we will be going to heaven. The time is there. We will be reading a little bit more about this putting in the fire, but this is enough for this. Okay, let's read the verse 31.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof.
Okay, now here is saying, there is another seed, that mustard seed, when you sow, it looks so small, but when it grows, it's bigger, gets bigger, like not a big tree, but maybe a bush. But according to these scriptures, we see that mustard seed, he says it becomes a big bush, even the birds comes and nest there. And so that's the kind of mustard seed grows. So the mustard seed is small, but it grows bigger, and the birds comes and nest there, and that's the kind of the way is the kingdom of God. Somebody says, I didn't understand. What has to do kingdom of God with this mustard seed? That's the way the kingdom of God is. That means we are a Christian nation, a Christian people are always helping others. Other people come to our shelter. Just like Jesus Christ says, I wanted to take you under my wings. So what Christian people do, they go and spread the gospel to Hindus, to Muslims, and all other kinds of people. So the people find some peace and shelter in Christ. So that small little seed is going to do blessing to other people. And that's the way the kingdom of God is. It started small when Jesus Christ had only 12 disciples. Out of 12, now we might be having millions of people from that 12 people. So the people come to the shelter, to Christ and his kingdom. So that little mustard seed represent the kingdom of God. Verse 33.
Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
Yeah, that this mustard seed and the leaven is almost the same kind of parable. He says, leaven also, when you put it in the flour of wheat or any flour, and at that time you don't know even there is a leaven. But within 3-4 hours, it pops up and become big. So that's the way the kingdom of God is. Started with a small in your heart, one member or one person preaching the gospel, they can bring more people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the kingdom of God is always growing spiritually. That's the way the kingdom of God is. Okay, verse 34.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Now, we read few minutes ago, Isaiah chapter 6, and how he said that I am speaking with these people with the parables because their mind is dull, they cannot hear, they cannot understand. That's what I'm doing. But there is another scripture, Psalm 78, verse 2.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
See, here he's saying he will speak with the parables and tell them the old secret, which other people didn't know. And so other prophet didn't know, but God has revealed to us. And that's why Jesus Christ says, mystery of the kingdom of God is revealed unto you. And here in this, go back to this Matthew 13:35. This which you have kept secret from the foundation of the world. means the mystery of the kingdom of God we just heard a few minutes ago, it was kept secret to the all the Old Testament prophets, and many people did not know. But God has revealed us how much God loved us, how much God take care of us from the foundation of the world. Go to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
He had chosen us before the foundation of the world, and we were in the heart of God, in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world. Impossible for us to understand, but it is true what God is saying. Ephesians chapter 3, and please read verse 3 to 6.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
See, he's saying what God revealed to St. Paul, it was not revealed to anyone from ages, but he was revealed to him. St. Paul, one time he says, I was lifted up to heaven. I don't know in body or spirit. He doesn't want to say. He said, I have seen certain things and I have heard certain things, but it's very difficult to explain. Paul only said, God has revealed me the mystery. If somebody got the dream and start telling you about how the heaven looks like, that is not going to give you anything. What Paul is teaching, Jesus Christ is the mystery. He is our hope. He is our salvation. That's the mystery should be revealed to mankind. And that's the mystery is revealed to the, he says, apostles and prophets. He's not talking about old prophets. He's talking about the New Testament apostles, New Testament prophets. And this was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And those people did not have this chance. Let's read verse 6.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
This blessing was not there for the Gentiles. Jewish people were chosen people and they were God's people. But he says God has given this blessing to us so we can partake all the promises of Christ. And that we know by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the gospel, without the prophets, without the preachers, we will not know. And Jesus Christ has given fivefold ministries in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and on. We don't have time. So all these fivefold ministries revealing the God's wisdom to mankind. And that's the way the church grows to maturity. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew 13:36.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
And he explained to them the parable of the tares or the weeds. And he says, what's going to happen in the end time? God is going to take the tares and put it in the fire, and he will store the good seeds. And who is going to do reaping jobs? He says, the angels will be the doing harvest or reapers. Other day I was listening to one man, I'm not giving his name, he has a television ministry. He said Jesus Christ had the sickle in his hand and he is going to reap. Jesus says, I'm not the one going to reap, angels are going to reap. The reaping job is not Jesus' job, reaping job is the angel's job. Angel is going to gather all these evil people and put it in the hellfire. We'll be reading a little bit more Let's read verse 40.
As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world.
Now, again he says, when is going to happen? End of this world. Now, there are preachers today, they will be saying this world is not going to end. This world is going to be forever. Here he's saying, end of this world. The end of this world will be finished and then the judgment comes. And where the judgment will be done? Judgment will be done at the white throne of judgment. I'll be telling you if you have time. Let's keep on reading verse 41.
The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity.
Okay, again he says, the angels will come and gather this. So the angels are the one going to harvest this thing, not Jesus. Okay, verse 42.
And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Where they are going to put? Fire. Where that fire is? He says, lake of fire, the word of God says. Now people are dying, and they are not putting into the lake of fire yet. They are like in prison. The torment is there. But the lake of fire is for eternity. They will be gathered from there, from the Hades and the hell, and all of these things will be putting in the lake of fire for the final judgment after the end of the world. Okay, let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And start reading from verse 10 to 15. Revelation 20, 10 to 15.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
Earth and heaven fled away. Not going to stay here. Many people say, oh, we are going to stay in the same earth. It's not going to stay.
And there was found no place for them.
When he says there was no found place for the heaven and earth, this present earth and present heaven, this heaven is talking about the first and second heaven. We are not talking about the third heaven. So that will be gone and there won't be no record. If you go and look at in the Revelation, he says you could not find a place again. Okay.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
And so he says, people in the sea, people in the hell, and all the people who died from Genesis until Christ comes. And those sinners will be judged according to the word of God. Keep on reading.
And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
See, and hell will be cast. Whatever the hell is now, and wherever the people are dead now, they will all be taken from those places and putting in the lake of fire, and that's called the second death. Okay, verse 15.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Another thing he's saying, if anyone was not in the book of life or book of Lamb's book of life, their name was not there, they all will be cast into the lake of fire. He said the false prophet and the Antichrist, they were already there, and there will be the final judgment, the devil will be cast there. So if you want to know, go to the book of Revelation chapter 19:20.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Okay, now if you want to know more about this, read the chapter 19, Revelation 19. Jesus Christ comes and he fights with this enemy, takes the Antichrist, takes the false prophet, put them in the lake of fire, and then the millennium kingdom starts. End of the millennium kingdom, when this old earth and old heaven will be passed away, then there will be white throne judgment. And in that judgment, all these wicked people, including these Antichrist, false prophet, devil, everybody, and all these people whose name was not in the book of life, all will be destroyed. And then what happens? New heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Go back to the Matthew. We have a few verses. We are going to finish it. Verse 43, Matthew 13, 43.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now he's saying, righteous people, where are they going? Going to heaven, where the Father lives. Now how can people say we are going to stay here? We are going to go to heaven. And then Daniel, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, Daniel says how we righteous people are going to shine. That's the scripture Jesus Christ is taking.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Who are the wise? Soul winners are the wise people. Means born again Christian who are winning soul, they are wise. They are going to shine like a stars. And other people, they will be resurrected and putting in a hell. We already read that. Okay, go back to the Matthew. Start from 44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which... Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
He said there was a field, and somebody hid the treasure. And somebody found out the treasure. And so he goes and says, hey, you want to sell this field? And whatever the money he had, he gave that money and bought that field. He was not looking for field, he was looking for treasure. Now what is that treasure? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when you receive in your heart, is a great treasure. I don't have time to explain, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, is the greatest treasure you can have. Once you receive Jesus Christ, Father and the Holy Spirit, and if somebody says, give up the Father, give up the Son, and give up the Holy Spirit, I'll give you $1 million. Is that worth it? Because we got the whole world. Means if you got Jesus, Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, you are going to go to heaven and you will have everything what the Father has. In the Galatians it says, whatever Father has, it all belong to you and me. Okay, and then he gives another example similar. He says one person found the pearl. So many people do not have the value of the pearl. They might be thinking it's just, some kind of thing. But the person who knows the value of the pearl, he knew it's very expensive. So he sold out everything and he got that pearl of great price. And who is that pearl? Jesus Christ is called the pearl of great price. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your value is more than the whole world because you got the treasure in you. Okay, verse 51 and onwards. Okay, that other one example he gave the example that somebody goes and casts the net and brings everything, and then what he does, fish or good fish or good things he keeps, and other ones he throws away. So same thing, he gave the example of tare, the similar example, you take the good things and other one will be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, verse 51.
Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
Did you understand this? He's saying scribe means the highly educated in the Bible. And so here he's saying this scribe knows the Bible very well, knows the treasure very well, treasure of the kingdom of God. And so he said, that's the way if somebody is in the household, he's not saying it's just the, but he said that scribe is like a household man. That means he knows everything about this house. He knows old, he knows good. Now, for example, if you go to somebody's house and they live there 80 years, they would know what are the old things are there and what are the new things are there. And some of them might be very valuable. Only the man of the house will know what is the treasure and what is the worth. And he can tell you old and new. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. If you paid attention, Psalm 78, verse 2, he says, he tells you parables and tells you the things of the old. So Jesus Christ is the only one, a scribe, real person who knows everything about Bible, everything about heaven. Old things are new things. That's why he came. He is called the old prophet. So the Jesus Christ is the only one can explain to you all hidden things of God, new and old. Okay. Verse 53.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him.
Now we know, last week we were learning, the mother of Jesus and his brethren came, and we didn't have time to tell their names and who they were. Now here we're saying, when Jesus Christ came from that house, went and saw these people, and all these people might have seen Jesus, Mary, and his brothers and sisters. And when he is giving all these parables and all this talking detail about kingdom of God, and he's saying, I'm just like a one scribe, knows all old things and new things, and I'm explaining to you. Who is this guy? He is just carpenter's son. Mary, his mother, and his brother's names are given here, and he is just the ordinary man. So what Jesus Christ was saying to them, he says, the prophet will not be honored in his country or in his house. And that's what happens. And so he's saying, that's why Jesus Christ did not do so many great things in that place. And somebody said, what place was this? He came to his own country. That's called Capernaum. And we read about Capernaum, and he says, Capernaum, the Sodom and Gomorrah will stand and judge you, because you did not understand what I was teaching in your city or in your country. And so shall we rise? So we should pray and say, thank God that Jesus Christ has revealed us all the secrets of the kingdom of God. There is nothing hidden. We know partially, but we know almost the most important things. What we should know, God has revealed to us. And again, God's word says the Holy Spirit will reveal more secret to you as we stay in the Spirit.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.